It's 88.5 KCSN, Nick Harcourt here with Damien Rice. The new album is My Favorite Faded Fantasy, and it's good to be sitting down and talking to you again.
It's so funny when you showed me that photograph of us, what was that, 10 years ago?
I should point out that just as we sat down, I found a photograph that had been taken over at the other place 10, 12 years ago of you and I. I had longer hair. You look the same.
I had longer hair there as well.
You look the same.
But I just shaved my head the other day.
Yeah. It's been a while and time passes. And as an artist, when time passes, one has the opportunity, I guess, to reflect on the work that you've done up until now. And then to evolve, sometimes that takes a while. And I know that you and I have bumped into each other through the last few years. In fact, we did a show together at the Hotel Cafe last year, impromptu. But I know that you've been traveling, and I know you've been doing a lot of other things and involving yourself in various work that's outside of music. As a songwriter, what does that bring back to the equation when you sit down after a while and not making records, but you're writing songs? What does that experience of, you know, having had a couple of albums out, having had some attention, and then going away for a while, what does that bring back to the songs on this record?
I think the thing that probably brought the most value was was losing myself, like really, really losing myself, losing the perception that I had of myself, or the perception that I might have thought that other people had of me, or the expectations that I had of myself. Or when enough time passed and the people that I was working with actually started to feel like he's never going to make another record, where people just started to give up on me, I gave up on myself as well. And I actually really started to believe, I was like, I'm just not going to do anything else. Shortly after really believing that, everything started to flow, because it's like everybody went to bed and the whole house felt silent. And then I got excited and I opened the window of my bedroom and I crept out the window of the bedroom and ran away with the dog and had an adventure. It was like I got permission to be a kid again, you know, or to be giddy, or to play around without eyes watching me.
To be excited.
Yeah, to be excited and inspired, yeah.
When you say you lost yourself, can you give me a little bit more, expand on that a bit? Because you were very busy for a couple of years there, the success of O and then Nine. You were on the road a lot. And I think for anybody who is constantly traveling and having to interpret their art as entertainment, there comes a point where perhaps it doesn't feel good anymore. Did you hit that point?
Totally, yeah. And it wasn't even so much that the music didn't feel good anymore or the concerts didn't feel good. What had happened was, you know, I started from this place of innocence, you know, with Lisa and the band and the people that I was recording the first record with, and the people that I started working with, and you know, and we did that from a real place of excitement. We were just so excited to actually be in the studio together. It wasn't even a studio, but be in the house together recording. And you put something down and you listen back and to slowly see a record form, and then to slowly start touring and have shows grow and be able to go to these new places. It was all very exciting and very, and I keep using this word, innocent. There was an innocence to it, you know, that over the years, as it grew and grew and people's expectations grew and grew, and the thing, and money came along as well. That was an interesting factor as well. Politics started entering the scenario.
It was within the group.
Within the group, yeah. And our behavior towards each other, it just started getting more complex, you know, and layered and proper and politically correct or whatever. And more adult-like instead of childlike and innocent-like, you know. And that made things complicated, and that killed the spirit. And when the spirit of enthusiasm was gone, then it became work, you know. And when it became work, then the fun left. And then when the fun left, it was just like, where the hell are we doing this, you know? And then when that left, that's when the relationship started to break down. It's like, well, why the hell am I here? I don't know. Why are you here? You know, it's like, and people just started to question, you know, why it was we were even playing together anymore, because it just wasn't enjoyable anymore. The love had vanished, or something had been broken, you know, tarnished or whatever.
To a certain extent, victims of success.
That's a way of putting it. Now, looking back, for me, and I don't want to speak for anybody else at all, but for me, I can see how I wasn't a victim to anything, that I did it all myself. I totally, I know it's just an expression, you know, and I know you probably just mean it as that.
No, but victim is a powerful word, and if it doesn't feel appropriate, then that's...
I felt it at the time, but that's not the way I feel about it now.
Right.
Looking back, I can see how, you know, I brought it all on myself. I can see how I, you know, started feeling sorry for myself when things didn't go my way or if somebody didn't agree with me. I started to feel isolated, or I can see now how I created my own isolation and my own hurt feelings and my own sense of being alone in the world and whatever it was, you know. I can just see now how I created that and how I built on top of that. And as I built on top of that, it became harder and harder to actually step out of that sort of way of thinking, you know, until it completely crumbled.
Nick Harcourt, your host, as we listen back to my recent conversation with Damien Rice. And before we continue, let's listen to one of his older songs recorded in session for us at the Village Studios in West LA. This is from his second album, Nine, released in 2006. The song is Rootless Tree.
What I want from you is empty your head. They say, be true, and don't stain your bed. We do what we need to be free, and this leans on me just like a rootless tree. What I want from us is empty our minds, and we fade the forms and fracture the times, and we go blind when we've needed to see, and this leans on me just like a rootless, through a city leaving. If it's nothing to you and if you hate me, then hate me so good that you can let me out. Just let me out of this hell and you're around. Let me out, let me out, let me out. Hell when you're around, let me out, let me out, let me out. What I want from this is learn to let go. No, not of you, but of all that's been told. Killers reinvent and believe, and this leans on me just like a rootless, and yeah. And all we've been through is it leaving. If it's nothing to you and if you hate me, well then hate me so good that you can let me out. Let me out, let me out of this hell when you're around. Let me out, let me out, let me out.
hours. When you're around, let me out, let me out, let me out. Hell, when you're around, let me out, 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 just let me out, 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 let me out. I love you, I love you, I love you. And all we've been through, I said, leave it. Leave it. If it's nothing to you, and if you hate me, then hate me so good that you can just let me out, let me out, let me out of this hell when you're around. Let me out, let me out, let me out of this hell when you're around. Let me out, just let me out. Hell, when you're out, let me out, let me out, let me out. Hell, when you're out.
That was Damien Rice recording a beautiful solo piano version of his song Rootless Tree. I'm Nick Harcourt, and getting back to my conversation with Damien, I asked him about responsibility and the difference between perhaps losing something or giving it away.
Yeah, only I would even say now, for me, when I look at it, it's like, I never even had anything, actually. It's like, I can't even say that I had anything to even lose. I might have thought I did at a certain point, and but really, the way I look at things now is that none of it's mine, and, none of it ever was, and none of it ever will be. And even, and that applies to whether it's money, or that applies to songs, or that are even relationships with people. Like, I can't even say that, I lost my relationship with the musicians that I was working with, but actually I didn't really. It transformed, just like it was transforming from day one. From day one, it was constantly moving and transforming and changing. And I've started to notice that everything is like that. Everything is constantly moving and transforming and changing. And the only place that it becomes a problem is if I try to stop it at a certain point in its transformation and try to hold on to it. Mm. And like, I want to keep it like this, And that's when I hold on tight. And then that's when things get painful, Whereas I've sort of learned now to just like let go and just watch things as they flow and watch things as they go. And I feel like so liberated, so light,
And things do come and go.
Yeah.
People come into our lives. People leave our lives. The Absolutely. Muse comes. The muse goes.
Yeah.
Let's get on to the new songs. I think it's important to have a little bit of a perspective from an artist who's been away for a while, mm-hmm. and who's coming back with a new clutch of songs, a new collection of songs. And as we've said, you stopped. After a period of time, you got the excitement back to write again. So the songs that comprise of this album, were some of them kicking around for a while? Were they all written in one batch? How did they come together? Last time I saw you was about a year ago, and you were in Malibu doing some stuff with Rick Rubin, which turned out to be this album.
Yeah.
But I know that you've also recorded in other places. You recorded in Iceland as well.
Yeah.
It's a very broad question I'm going to ask you, but can you tell us about this collection of songs and how they arrived? What's the oldest song on the record?
That I don't know. I'd have to actually think about it. What I could say in general is that they're all fairly fresh. They're all from the last few years. Mm-hmm. I had been writing before that. I've been writing. The writing, comes and goes as it does. But something happened in the last few years where I hit a point where I looked at the things that I'd written in the years previously, and I didn't like my words, because a lot of the words that I'd written were coming from that victim place. You did this to me, or you hurt me or whatever. Like, that's ugh, such a bland way of saying it. But, you know, but just those classic human points of view of like, how could you do that to me? And any of any songs that I had written then up to about 3 years ago that had any of that energy, I felt like I just don't want to be, I don't want to be feeding this out into the world. It just was like, it doesn't feel relevant to where I'm at, you know? So that's why all the newer songs that are coming through now, they're very much from a different perspective. And even like the song, like The Greatest Bastard, somebody might listen to that and go, oh, but that's pretty victim-y. And it's like, well, not at all. It's actually really lighthearted and humorous. There's a sadness to it, but it's not pointing the finger. It's just looking at something and asking a few questions and with a sort of a smile on the face and going and reflecting and allowing myself to be in a moment of upset and then come out of that upset and go, oh, well, gosh, what do I know?
I'm Nick Harcourt and we're listening to my recent interview with Damien Rice. We recorded a conversation and a live session with him at the Village Studios in Los Angeles. This is a new song. It's called The Greatest Bastard.
I made you laugh, I made you cry, I made you open up your eyes, didn't I? I helped you open out your wings, your legs and many other things, didn't I? Am I the greatest bastard that you know? The only one who let you go? The one you hurt so much you cannot bear? We were good when we were good, when we were not misunderstood. You helped me love, you helped me live, you helped me learn how to forgive, didn't you? I wish that I could say the same, but when you left the blame, didn't you? Am I the greatest bastard that you met? The only one you can forget? Am I the one your truth's been waiting for? Or am I just dreaming once again? Some dreams are better when they end. And some make it mistaken, some force and some will fake it, but I never meant to let you down. Some fret it, forget it, some ruin and some regret it, but I never meant to let you down. We learn to wag and tuck our tails. We learn to win and then to fail, didn't we? We learn that lovers love to sing and that losers love to cling, didn't we? Am I the greatest bastard that you know? When will we learn to let this go? We fought so much, we've broken all the charm. Letting go is not the same as pushing someone else away. So please don't let on that you don't know me. Please don't let on that I'm not here. Please don't let on that you don't love me, 'cause I know you do. I know. Some make it, mistake it, some force and some will fake it, but I never meant to let you down.
Some fret it, forget it. Some ruin and some regret it. But I never meant to let you down. I never meant to let you. I never meant to let you down. I never.
That's Damien Rice performing The Greatest Bastard. It's a song from his new album, My Favorite Faded Fantasy. I'm Nick Harcourt. Let's get back to our conversation. You talked about Iceland. I know you did some recording in Iceland as well, right?
A bunch. Most of the recording actually was done in Iceland, yeah.
Why Iceland? Did you meet somebody over there?
That's a personal question.
You could just say, I met a great drummer. Yeah. Why Iceland?
It's inspiring for various reasons. It's a really very unique, interesting place for sure. It's a tiny population, and not everybody knows everybody, but it has that sense of everybody knowing everybody. And if you want to organize something mad at the last minute, you can do it. You call a friend who knows somebody else, and. Uh-huh. It's just easy to do things in a spontaneous
way. It's a small community.
Way. Yeah, really small.
Essentially. I was seeing the guy who was the mayor of Reykjavik.
Oh, yeah.
You know this guy who came from the party of we're not going to do anything? That's a whole other thing. Google it if you want to. But he was saying that, you know, Reykjavik is pretty much it. Iceland is a country, but, you know, 80 or 90% of the people live in
Reykjavik.
In Reykjavik. And I also remember... I've interviewed a few artists from there. I remember meeting the guys from Goose Goose years ago, 15 years ago over at the other place, and them telling me that the reason there was so much, I know you're going to crack up, the reason there was so much great music came out of Iceland was there was nothing to do there apart from have sex and make art.
Right. Don't be looking at me like that.
So obviously a beautiful place and some inspiration. Do you think you can hear that on the record that you wouldn't be able to hear if it hadn't been recorded there? Well, you know, we're in the village now, and I believe that certain rooms and certain places can bring something
for sure
to the sound. What do you think Iceland brought to this album?
Spaciousness. It allowed me to paint layer upon layer upon layer upon layer at any random spontaneous moment that the idea popped, and so I didn't have to be that organized in Iceland. I could just sort of be really loose and free, and as something occurred, you know, you could make a phone call and somebody would be over in the house in 15 minutes. I get inspired for some line, and a player would just come over, and we just go and put it down. And then, oh, can you call your friend? And then the friend would come over, and then six people would be over in the place, you know. And then you just, it was like that.
All of a sudden, you're
just
creating.
Yeah, it was fun. It was real, the opposite to work. The work part in Iceland was getting up every morning and getting to it. That was, like, in a way, that's the only work that I really did on this record, was just getting up in the morning and turning up. But once I turned up, the rest of it was just like, once somebody showed up and we were into actually playing music, I was like a kid, you know. I loved it. I just loved it.
And coming back to that sense of excitement that you were talking about before, and maybe even discovery. I don't want to put words into your mouth, but as you look at the finished album, and perhaps put it in the perspective of your work as a solo artist, third album, what evolution do you see in your music, in your creation? If you go from that first album, as you said, which was sitting around in a house, bunch of friends, you know, just sort of putting music together, and out it came. I would imagine, and remembering a couple of conversations we've had in the past, that the second album was a bit more difficult because there was some pressure, because okay, well, this has done well, now here comes the other one. And then stepping away, coming back and looking, you know, with some distance and perspective, as a man who has evolved, as an artist who has evolved, as a writer who has evolved. You just said you threw a bunch of stuff out because it didn't feel right. If you look at this album now, what do you think it represents of you as an artist and as a man today?
The image that pops into my mind is actually a Leonard Cohen lyric. And I don't know if I'll get it right, but it's some line that says, the cracks, everyone's got a crack, or there's cracks in everything, but that's where the light gets in, you know. And that's what I feel like has happened over the last few years, is that everything kind of crumbled and cracked, and I was in a space where I felt like, oh my God, I'm falling apart. But then this light came in through all these, what I had thought of being broken parts of my life, you know. And all of a sudden I started seeing things totally differently. Or I just started seeing things, maybe. I feel like, you know, like somebody just inverted my world, and it's almost like it's the opposite to what it was before. I'm struggling these days to find bad things in the world. I'm struggling these days to find any problems with any other individuals. It's not sticking anymore. And I used to be very, very sticky before. I really had my way, and I thought I was very purist, you know, and now I just, it's just like, there it is. Or there they are. That's happening. And now this is happening. And here we are. Wow. Now look at that. You know, I've taken my hands off the steering wheel and noticed that I was actually never driving.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and we're listening to my recent interview with Damien Rice about his break from recording and his new album, My Favorite Faded Fantasy. We'll get back in a moment to the conversation, but first up, a song from our session at the Village Studios in West Los Angeles. This is Trusty and True.
We've wanted to be trusty and true, but feathers fell from our wings, and we've wanted to be worthy of you, ball weather rained on our dreams. And we can't take back what is done, what is past. So fellas, lay down your fears, 'cause we can't take back what is done, what is past. So let us start from here. Rusty or lewd, nor tethered to prudish strings. We never wanted to be jealously tuned, nor withered into ugly things. And we can't take back what is done, what is past. So fellas, lay down your spear, 'cause we can't take back what is done, what is past. So let us start from here. Is not all you desire, then come. Come alone, come with fear, come with love, come however you are, just come. Come alone, come with friends, come with foes, come however are. Just come, come alone, come with me, then let go, come however you are. Just come.
That was Damien Rice performing a new song in session called Trusty and True. I'm Nick Harcourt. Let's get back to our conversation. If an artist came to you, a fellow artist came to you today and said, I've got writer's block. I haven't been able to do anything that I feel I like for 2 years or more, you know, and clearly this is something you've experienced, and I know I know people who experience. So if somebody came to you today and said, I don't know, man, I just, all these songs came out of me, and then like for the last 3 years, I just, what do I do? What's your take on that?
Yeah, a very easy solution. Because that's the exact experience that I had. And it was through Rick's help and the lady that he recommended I go see that the two of them, the two-pronged attack, you know, and on my brain, which was shut up, show up, and just express yourself. There is nobody in the world who can do a better job of expressing you than you. So just do it and don't judge it. Just let it out. It's like, oh, I've got writer's block. I've nothing to write about. Well, write about being blocked. So, oh, yeah, but no, that's boring. So then write about it, how boring it is writing about writer's block. I mean, it's endless. You know, you pull back the layers I'll call them actually veils. You pull back these veils, and underneath there's so much goo to write about. You know, it's like, what is it that you're afraid of if you can't write something? What is it that you're afraid will happen? Well, I'll lose myself. Well, write about that. You know, but no words are coming. So then write down, no words are coming. You could write a whole song just with those three words, you know. Nothing's coming.
It's a great hook.
Nothing's, you know, it's like, and it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's endless.
Sure.
It's just, yeah.
It's great talking to you, man. You seem in a really, really good place.
Well, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, you're here and you're doing interviews, you know. Last time I saw you, we did the interview that wasn't an interview. It was like, just talk to me about things, but don't ask me any questions. We're like,
oh God, I totally remember. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah.
I was uncomfortable.
I remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's great.
Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Save the best for last.
See, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say that. So that was fun. Let's wrap it up with the first single from Damien's new album, my favorite, Faded Fantasy. This is I Don't Want to Change You.
Wherever you are, well, know that I adore you. No matter how far, well, I can go before you. And if ever you need someone, not that you need helping, but if ever you want someone, well, know that I am willing. Oh, 'cause I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change your mind. I just came across a manger out among the danger, somewhere in a stranger's eye. Wherever you go, I can always follow. I can feed this real slow. if it's a lot to swallow. If you just wanna be alone, well, I can wait without waiting. But you want me to let this go? Well, I'm more than willing. Oh, 'cause I wanna change you. I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change your mind. I just came across a manger out among the danger, somewhere in a stranger's eye. Oh, and I wanna change you. I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change your mind. I just came across a manger out among the danger, somewhere in a stranger's eye. I've never been with anyone in the way I've been with you. But if love is not for fun, then it's doomed, 'cause water races, water races down. The water falls, the water races, water races down. The water falls, and I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change you. I don't wanna change your mind. I just came across a manger where there is no danger, where love has eyes, it is not blind.
That was Damien Rice, recorded live in session for KCSN at the Village Studios in West Los Angeles on October 10th, 2014. My thanks to Damien, to Julie Muncy of Warner Brothers Records, to AM, and our engineer, Mr. Guion Wright. I'm Nick Harcourt. Thanks for listening.